This is the Scripture-Driven Church Broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture-Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
The Apostle Paul tells us that the faithful preaching of sound doctrine is an essential part of the church's defense against Satan's attacks. But this brings us face to face with a problem. Today, there is a famine of that kind of preaching and teaching in the evangelical church. What needs to change? Well, that's our focus today as we continue our series of messages titled Truth Above All from Colossians chapter 2. Heavenly Father, all of us need to be taught from your word. I pray that as we open your word today, that this message of exhortation to preachers and teachers in the church would be an encouragement to ever greater faithfulness in the great task you have given such men. And Father, we know that those in the church who sit under the teaching of others need to hear this also. I pray that you would open our hearts to the instruction of your word and illuminate our understanding by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin today, let me read for you once again the passage with which we are dealing at the present time, which is found in Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power." Now, in our study of this passage, we're dealing with the most serious issue that the church is facing in our time. Satan is having great success today in leading individual Christians and leading entire churches away from the truth and into worldly philosophy, into legalism, and into man-made doctrines. We need to restore and maintain a solid battlefront against Satan's triple threat to the church. And so the question is this: how are we to erect and maintain that solid battlefront against these threats? We have been taking note of the fact that in these verses the Apostle Paul tells believers that we absolutely must do this. That is what he means when he speaks of good order and steadfastness in verse 6. He uses military language to describe what we need to do. But Paul not only tells us that we need to do this, he tells us how to do it. In these verses, we have seen that he gives us four imperatives. At the present time, we're focusing on the second of those imperatives. We find it in verse 7. Paul says that in order to put up and keep up a strong and solid battlefront against Satan's triple threat, we must grow upon a firm foundation, rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, in this verse, we have seen several important things. First, we saw that the believer who is growing on a firm foundation puts down strong roots in sound doctrine. Secondly, we saw that the believer who is growing on a firm foundation possesses stability in the truth. Thirdly, we saw that the believer who is growing on a firm foundation is constantly taking in the nourishment of sound teaching. Fourth, we saw that the believer who is growing on a firm foundation abounds in these things. And fifth, we saw that the thinking of the believer who is growing on a firm foundation has as its keynote thanksgiving gratitude for Christ and for the truth. Now, in this verse, verse 7, there is one more important consideration, and it is this. All of these aspects of growing upon a firm foundation are largely dependent upon continual sound teaching by faithful men. Notice how Paul puts it in verse 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, notice, as you have been taught. As you have been taught, Paul says. Now, all teaching involves communication, and there are two sides to any communication. There are, of course, on the one side, the people who are being taught, in this case, the people of the church. That is one side of the communication, but by whom were they being taught? The context of the passage tells us the answer. They had been taught by men who were faithful to the Word of God, by Paul, by Timothy, by Epaphras, as Paul tells us in chapter 1. That is the other side of the communication. And in chapter 1, verse 28, Paul tells us the goal of his communication. Warning every man, he says, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, Paul says that this is the purpose of gospel preaching and teaching. Jesus Christ Himself has given pastors and teachers to the church, Paul says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Jesus Christ. And so Paul repeats the same thought here in Colossians chapter 2. Rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith, as you have been taught. And dear friends, this brings us to the crux of the problem in many churches today. In our time, there is a famine of Bible teaching in the evangelical church. There is a famine of systematic expository preaching of the whole counsel of God as it is found only in the Word of God. Paul says that if we are to put up and keep up a solid battlefront against Satan's triple threat to the church, we must have sound preaching and teaching by faithful men. It is indispensable. Now, we need to approach this great need from the two standpoints that I mentioned, the standpoint of the preacher or teacher, and also from the standpoint of the hearers in the church. And so today I'm going to take up this issue first from the standpoint of the preacher. Now, what I am going to say to the preacher and teacher is also vitally important to the people who listen. So if you are a preacher or teacher, I trust you will hear me out. And if you are a church member, I trust that you will also hear me out, because you need to hear this as well from the Word of God. And as I begin by primarily addressing preachers and teachers, let me freely admit that as I am preaching to you, I'm also preaching to myself. Believe me, I could not preach this message to anyone else if the Lord had not first preached it to me in the preparation of this message. This passage brings us face to face with a probing question. The question is this: preacher, are you teaching the truth? Are you preaching and teaching in complete submission to the sole authority of the Word of God? Or are you placing some kind of man-made matrix over the Bible that influences your teaching, perhaps obscures the truth, or even twists or denies the truth? Are you placing some agenda of your own over the Bible? And are you preaching according to that agenda? In other words, is the keynote of your preaching, "Thus says the Lord," or is it merely, "Thus says this preacher"? These are not impertinent questions. They are questions that every preacher must ask himself continually. Satan has a very simple but highly effective strategy. If Satan can draw the preacher away from the clear and single-minded proclamation of the truth, then he can draw your whole congregation away with you. This is a great responsibility, a grave responsibility. And so you must always ask the question, am I coming into the pulpit with a message from God? You are an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador speaks the words of the one who sends him on the authority of the one who sends him. An ambassador for Christ can only speak Christ's message by Christ's authority. Dear preacher friend, if you and I come into the pulpit with anything else, we have sinned. We have deserted our duty and our calling. Our job is to direct people's attention to the Word of God. We are to warn every man from the Word of God. We are to teach every man from the Word of God. And the goal is that we may present every individual the Lord has given into our spiritual care complete in the Word, in the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no higher calling. There is no greater responsibility. That is why Paul says to Timothy the words that I have called to our attention so many times in this series. We find them at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and continuing into the opening verses of chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm beginning at verse 13. Paul says this to Timothy, "But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Paul says to this young preacher, Timothy, and to every preacher, he says, you need to be faithful to the word, because evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Don't be deceived yourself. Your preaching must be the antidote to deception, the defense against deception. And what is the deception? It's the very deception we've been considering here in Colossians chapter 2, Satan's triple threat to the church: worldly philosophy, legalism, man-made doctrines. Sound preaching by faithful men is an essential element of the battlefront that we must put up and keep up against Satan's triple threat to the church. If Satan can deceive the preacher, he can deceive a whole church. If Satan can deceive a seminary professor, he can deceive an entire generation of seminary students. It has happened. It is happening, even in our time, even in reputedly conservative Bible colleges and seminaries. Evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, Paul says. Or, as Jude puts it at the beginning of his epistle, ungodly men will creep in unnoticed. Don't be one of them, Paul says to Timothy. But you, he says, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice how Paul puts it here. First of all, he says to Timothy, you have learned these things from me. You have seen my life. You have seen my ministry. You have seen my faithfulness to the Scriptures. You have seen how I myself have been persecuted for taking that stand. And you have seen that I have not wavered from it. But, Paul says, you have also been assured of the things that I have taught you. And what has been the source of that assurance? Scripture itself. You yourself, Timothy, have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What I have taught you, Timothy, I have not taught you on my own authority, Paul says. I have taught you these things on the authority of Holy Scripture. And then Paul goes on to say that it is not just some Scripture, but all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. A better translation would be every word of Scripture. This is God's very word you're dealing with, Timothy. This is not man's word. God didn't merely supervise the writing of Scripture. Every bit of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, in the original language, every bit of Scripture is God-breathed. It came directly from the mouth of God. He spoke it. He breathed it out. That is what we mean when we speak of the doctrine of the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. That is the teaching of 2 Timothy 3:16. When a preacher or teacher teaches the Scriptures, he is teaching the very words of God. There can be no higher responsibility than to handle the Word of God carefully in the pulpit. That is why Paul tells the Corinthian church at the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "We have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." We have not followed any agenda that is based on human wisdom. That is what Paul means when he says, "We have not walked in craftiness." We have not adulterated the Word of God. That is what he means when he says, "We have not handled the Word of God deceitfully." No, we have renounced such things. Once and for all, he says, we have handled God's Word with the utmost care. We have proclaimed God's Word in its purity. We have not imposed our own agenda on the Word of God, as some other men are doing. And as Paul says here in 2 Timothy, it must be all Scripture, not just our pet Scriptures, not just the ones we feel most comfortable preaching or teaching. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is all profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And thus Paul told the elders of Ephesus, Acts chapter 20, verse 27, "I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I haven't avoided any of it. I haven't held back. I haven't been timid about it. I haven't hesitated for a moment. I have declared all of it to you because you need all of it. You must have all of it." And why, Paul says, because savage wolves are going to come in among you. Even from among yourselves, he says, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. I have proclaimed the whole counsel of God to you, Paul says, because the whole counsel of God is your defense against such men and such teachings. And then in this passage in 2 Timothy, to which I have directed our attention, Paul gives this solemn charge to Timothy. "I charge you therefore," he says, "I solemnly command you because these things are true, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word of God alone. And be ready to do it," Paul says, "in season and out of season." What this literally means is this: preach the word when people are ready and willing to hear it, and also preach the word when people are not ready and not willing to hear it, but always the word. The prevailing culture must never dictate what you preach. Church tradition must never dictate what you preach. Your own assessment of what may seem suitable to preach or not suitable to preach must never dictate what you preach. Concern for your reputation, for acceptance, or for popularity must never dictate what you preach. Don't hold back, Paul says, from declaring the whole counsel of God. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. And why is this so vital? For the time will come, Paul says, when they will not endure sound doctrine. Satan's attack is going to come. Satan is going to deploy one or more of his triple threats: worldly philosophy, legalism, man-made doctrines, sometimes individually, often in combination. He's going to try to undermine the church. According to their own desires, Paul says, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, Paul says, you the gospel preacher, Be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Preacher, teacher, your ministry is this great high calling, this grave responsibility. You are the watchman on the wall. The Lord said this to the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 33. Son of man, I have made you a watchman over my people. When the watchman sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, his blood shall be on his own head. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Preacher, teacher, you are a watchman on the wall. You are a watchman over the souls of God's people. That is what you are, whether you like it or not. And so, as Paul says to Timothy, you must be watchful in all things. You must be on the lookout for Satan's threats. You must be on the lookout for Satan's threats to your own life and ministry. You must be on the lookout for Satan's threats to the life and ministry and message of the church. You must warn the people. You must teach the people. You must give them the whole counsel of God. You must equip them to meet and defeat the enemy of the church. And so this is the one side of Paul's great statement here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, that believers are to be rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith as you have been taught. The preacher and teacher have this great responsibility, but those who are the listeners, those who are being taught, also have a great responsibility, and that, the Lord willing, will be the focus of our next message.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Friends, we're so glad to see that more and more of you are taking advantage of the free resources that are available on our website, teachingtheword.org. These resources are designed to help Christians to grow upon the firm foundation of Christ and His Word. I especially encourage you to visit our Bible Knowledge Base. You'll find hundreds of articles and study series that are designed to help you to put down strong roots in sound doctrine. And we're adding new resources nearly every day. And all of the resources in the Bible Knowledge Base are available to you at no cost or obligation. Right now, we're featuring a series of free studies called Adoption by God. Listeners from around the world have told us that you've been blessed and encouraged by these studies. If you haven't looked at them, I hope you'll do so this week. You can read the studies online at our website. You can also download them in printable form, or you can contact us to request a printed copy by mail, all at no cost or obligation. Part one of this study asks the question, how are believers adopted by God? One of the things we focus on is the strong connection between justification by faith and adoption. Part two presents the precious truths of adoption by God in this present life. The fact that those who have been adopted by God now have new relationships, new privileges, new responsibilities. And part three of the study presents the glorious truths of adoption by God for the life to come. A secure inheritance, our new citizenship, our new glorified bodies, and so much more. You can view these studies online by visiting our website, teachingtheword.org, and clicking the Bible Knowledge Base link on our homepage, and then clicking the link titled Salvation, Adoption by God. Once again, go to our website, teachingtheword.org, click the Bible Knowledge Base link on our homepage, and then click the link titled Salvation, Adoption by God. You'll be able to view the studies online or download them for printing. You can also request a printed copy of these studies by mail. You can make your request by clicking the contact link on our homepage or by calling us toll-free at 888-804-9655. Once again, just click the contact link on our homepage or call us toll-free at 888-804-9655. Or if you prefer, you can write to us at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158 USA. Thanks for listening today, and until next time, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.